is hitting the hardwood. From mock drafts to summer league, every detail that is the NBA draft can only be heard here. Hitting the hardwood with Deshaun Tate and Gordon Robinson.
Welcome in, hitting the hardwood. We like to call it the basketball buffet around here. Man, me, D Tate, of course, Deshaun Tate, my boy G Rob.
That's right, I'm the G to the O-R-D-O-N.
There we go, man, the weekly podcast of the upcoming 2018 NBA Draft. And leading up to the draft, this is where basketball lives, man. A podcast duration of about 30 minutes, man. So sit back, kind of kick back, and enjoy it as you hear our brand new kind of opening or intro, if you will. You like that, G? You feeling the intro?
I'm feeling,
man?
The vibe, man. It's got a little funky groove to it.
A little funk to it.
Yeah, I'm with it.
A little Detroit mixed with a little ATL and that thing.
I'm all the way with it, man.
I wasn't sure if I was gonna really start breaking on the freestyle or not. But what you can look forward to, man, is we like to call this the best NBA draft content on the continent. This podcast will go up through all the way up through the summer league, man. That's going to be crazy. Really excited about that. Let's go ahead and set the table a little bit of some of the things that we're going to be talking about. First and foremost, let's make sure that we throw out the social media handles, because of course those things are very, very important. You can catch me on Instagram as well as on Twitter at Tate's Take Sports. That's T-A-T-E-S-T-A-K-E Sports, as well as our show on Twitter as well. That is at HitHardwood929, HitHardwood929. And last but certainly not least, my boy G Rob.
Yep, that's G Robinson Sports. That's at G Robinson Sports on Twitter, at G Robinson _ Sports on IG.
Sound like a lot to remember, man, a little bit.
It's at G Robinson Sports. Then you just break it up a little bit for Instagram.
Okay. I'm with that.
Same thing both ways.
I can get with that. Without further ado, let's get into it, man. We're going to talk about here on today. This is going to be our last podcast, man, for the next 3 weeks that are going to be outside of the mock draft. So looking forward to our mock draft coming up on starting up on next week. But today, the last time we were here, man, you know, we got into some guys talking about I'm the best of this draft class, and some refuse to lose and cannot miss organizations that must make big time splashes in this draft. We're going to get into some of that in regards to some notable returnees that's going to be going back to school, some notable agent higher signees that's going to be sticking within the NBA draft. Who's the most pro-ready prospects, in addition to one specific player that is a brother of an NBA, current NBA player that has some workouts with a couple teams over there on the West Coast. Some teams within the playoffs, some of their that's just recently been eliminated, some of their needs, maybe they can bounce back, get to the finals next year. Another specific player who's kind of on the fence about making some decisions, and some key dates and just around the local Atlanta area. Hawk Talk, as we like to call it, our special segment about everything Atlanta Hawks in regards to, as it relates to the NBA draft. So let's go ahead and get into it. First and foremost, some notable returnees, man. Realistically, just kind of looking at this thing, G-Rob, you know, there's always a lot of players that I like to think should be returning to back to college, but don't necessarily make that decision. And a lot of those guys are guys that make me feel like I can enter my name into the draft. And just to throw one of them out there that I've noticed recently is Luke May out of North Carolina. Kind of reminds me of a Joe Ingle a little bit from a Utah Jazz. Is there anybody that you've kind of noticed? Because that was one guy that I specifically saw, and I was like, wow, like, this dude returned back to college, which I think was a good decision. But, but I think that it'll definitely benefit him and Tar Heel country in the end.
In terms of just returning to the – returning back to the NCAA, do you think that they should be a little more lenient? Do you think they should give you a little more time to test the waters a little bit than – because do you – or do you think they've given you plenty of time, they've given you enough sample size to talk to certain teams, work out for a few teams, talk to a few GMs, and you think that's enough for them to say, okay, I know what I need to know, I should come back?
I think that they've got more than enough time, and I'm going to tell you why. You know, you've gone through this whole process, you're getting interviewed, you're talking to different GMs, and guys are in the front offices of these organizations. And not only that, you're, you know, especially if you've been invited to the combine, you're getting your five-on-fives, right, and all your measurements, and you're going through the whole experience. But I think on the downside to this, especially for NBA teams, that is not so much of the students to that is deciding whether they want to come back or not is the fact that free agency doesn't get underway until after the NBA draft. And so you really don't know what you have from a roster, you know, standpoint, potential roster standpoint. But other than that, I think that the kids got plenty of time to be quite honest with you and kind of be evaluated knowing where they stand.
Okay, because I was just wondering, like, a lot of times some people, if you don't – I don't know if you get an honest assessment from a lot of these GMs, you know, because there's a lot of smoke and there's a lot of BS that goes on. Some GMs will say, okay, we like you as – you know, maybe a second-round guy, or if you're around when we're picking, you know, you'll get the used car salesman talk.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if you get an honest assessment. So maybe, like, they should be able to have a decision, say, okay, I don't like where I got drafted, if I got drafted, whatever. And college should extend some of those dates back to say, okay, we will allow you to – even though I know that would be a domino effect because that would have to do a lot of things with scholarships. You know, they would have to be able to rescind scholarships and do all things like that and fulfill those commitments and contracts. But I'm just something that I was just curious about, man.
No, that makes sense, man. I'm glad that you mentioned that because that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily think about, especially when you're going through this evaluation process. Now, just a couple notable names of guys are going to be returning back to school. Jordan Caroline from Nevada. Austin Wiley, who is before, you know, being a part of the whole FBI probe and being suspended by the NCAA, was a big part of Auburn and their success going into this season, where you saw that they did a phenomenal job. Bryce Brown returning back to Auburn, Jalen Hudson back to Florida, John Elmore, they made a really nice run with Marshall earlier this year, Isaac Copeland back to Nebraska. We already talked about Luke May. And so there was one more name that I wanted to throw out there besides Bruno Fernando, who ironically, Bruno Fernando from Maryland pulled out of this draft to return back to Maryland. And if I'm not mistaken, the last time I looked at NBADraft.net for next year's NBA NBA draft, mock draft rather, right, was expected to be like the number two pick in next year's draft, which is a little weird and ironic because most people never even heard of this guy. When I saw this, I thought it was a misprint. But Jontay Porter is a guy that's on the fence. We talked about guys that's on the fence,
right?
And questionable. And I think between he and Dante DiVincenzo is probably the two biggest names
that were kind of sitting still there.
Exactly. Yeah. Still kind of deciding whether they will or won't. Real quickly, between Jontay Porter and Dante DiVincenzo, where do you think that they stand? Do you think they even get drafted? Do you think they should return back to school or come back considering their situation?
I think DiVincenzo would get drafted just because of his skill set. I think he's one of the guys. I won't say he's a ready now type guy considering the fact that he's on the fence, but I think he's able to adapt more so to the pro game. I think with Porter, I think he has a bigger upside and he would benefit more from coming back. His body-wise, athleticism, I think he could really benefit from coming back. You get a little more experience. You get a year older, a little stronger, and then you come back, and he could probably be one of those top lottery guys that we'll be talking about next season.
In case you're wondering, and if the last name sounds familiar, that's the brother.
It is
of
his
one,
brother, right.
Michael Porter Jr., who did participate in the entire season for Missouri, kind of like a little package deal, man. Jontay Porter actually reclassified up to play this year. Well, it would have been a high school senior.
But the dad got a job.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Dad
right.
Got
so
a
it, was a, it was a it was a it was a whole bundle. It wasn't just a package. It wasn't just it was a whole bundle.
Well, I don't
bundle.
Know how much the dad contributed. And I'm not trying to knock dad, but I don't know how much dad contributed on the side. As far as an assistant, I think it was more or less of one of those. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Tweet us. At Hit Harwood 929 if you think otherwise, but I think it was more or less one of those, oh, well, you've got two sons that are pretty phenomenal players.
Yeah,
huh? Okay, well, let's
check. Porter Jr. was slated to go to Washington before?
Oh, all of them. Yeah, because the dad was the assistant.
At Washington.
Right, until Lorenzo Romar, you know, got released.
Right.
And then next thing you know, it's like, hey, I need a job. Okay, where are you bringing your two sons over with you? Yep, sure am. All right, cool. Come right on
You're
over
hired.
Here. And yeah, exactly. And then I think it helps with Missouri even more so because they're originally from Missouri. I think that's where the dad and Konzo Martin, the head coach, know each other from. And one of the sisters plays on the Missouri girls basketball team and all that kind of stuff.
It was all real convenient.
It was all very convenient for them. And it's going to be real convenient when those paychecks start rolling in because Michael Porter Jr. is expected to be a lottery pick as well. All things being considered, weird. I like Jontay Porter. Maybe to return.
Still on the fence about Michael Porter.
You still on the fence about Porter?
I can't get over the back, dog. I'll be honest. I can't get over the back issue. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like, and it's a crapshoot to me.
We talked about this last week.
Yeah, we did. It's just a crapshoot to me. I can't, like, when you start talking about guys over 6'8", 6'9", and you start talking about back and feet.
Yeah.
It's, you know what I'm saying? Like, Joel Embiid is still fighting it.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
Well, I know people are
only gonna, time will tell.
I know people are gonna say, "Oh man, here goes D Tate, man, with the Luka Doncic hate." But you know, I mean, that's kind of a roll the dice type of situation too. So let me ask you this: if you're there on the board and those are your best two prospects hanging there on the board, just you know, for craps and giggles, who do you go with? Who do you roll the dice on?
We didn't do this last week. I thought we did this last week.
Between those two,
I thought we did this. But, well, and I'll give you the answer because I don't know if we didn't do it.
That's
well,
fair.
Damn it, it's deja vu for me.
Oh, let's go for the people who didn't listen to episode 12. Exactly. Okay.
Well, I go for Michael Porter Jr. just because of the upside. Like I've watched the Doncic stuff. I've watched it. I think all the little moves that he put out there, I don't think he gets by anybody with that. I don't like the little cross. I watched some video just last night, as a matter of fact, of him crossing somebody up and the dude stumbled and slipped and fell. And I was like, nobody would fall for that in the league.
Yeah, especially all the athletes.
It looked real herky-jerky-ish.
That's right.
He stopped and paused at one time and then tried to pull back his stuff back. Like, no.
Let me ask you this while we're talking about Luka Doncic. Because, you know, I told you the conversation I had with my homeboy last week. I always have to have a Luka Doncic mention, and it always has to be real and it always has to be truthful. So here it is. Let me ask you this, G-Rob, on the strength, man, on the Popeye. Do you believe if Mo Wagner, right, the big man center from University of Michigan, led him to the Final Four National Championship game this year, do you believe that if he was in that same position of Luka Doncic overseas right now, we had never seen him except for on that level?
I can see
looking at his skill set, would he be a potential number one pick?
I could see him getting 15 points a game.
But would we be talking about him being number one? I mean, look at the way he scores the college basketball platform.
I mean, I don't – but it's a different game. We're talking about Europe, and we're talking about a big man.
Who's European.
Who is European, but he – to play at a school like Michigan, and you've adapted to the United States style of basketball.
Okay.
I mean, even though you can be that stretch guy, that still doesn't mean it's a European – like a European big man is going to be a tough translate. Like, that's going through professional European. Like, how many of those have we had outside of Dirk Nowitzki?
Not many.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
not many.
I mean,
but you have had some, though. I mean, when you're talking about a transition, I mean, and during different eras of this NBA, I mean,
you got a Sabonis that, you know, we was 50 when he got here.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, there was Tony Kukoc and Detlef Schrempf. I mean, there was.
But Kukoc was a wing.
Oh, you're talking about specifically what, guards?
Like a big man. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like
Oh, strictly the big.
Yeah. Like, Kukoc was a wing. But, and see, I think, personally, and I'll throw this out there.
Porzingis? Is he the one exception,
I
maybe?
Can get with, I can, I'll give you that one. Okay. I'll give you Porzingis. But I will say this. For as much hype as we heard about Tony Kukoc when I was coming up, and he was supposed to be the next guy, I think he would. He was very overhyped. I think Kukoc was an average player in the league who was set to blaze the NBA from everything that I heard.
Happened to play with the best player ever and looked pretty good.
Yeah, like he didn't blaze the league. Like even when Jordan left and it was Scotty and Tony.
Oh, for the 2 years, yeah.
Like he was supposed to put it on his back, and they gave him the keys to the car to the point where Scotty cried for Jordan to come back. Mm. He didn't do it.
Now, I know that it's kind of weird the way that we've kind of transitioned and rolled off this thing. I just wanted to throw that out there because I personally think that we would be talking about Mo Wagner being potentially the number one pick in the event that he was over there with Doncic and seeing the way that, you know, he's been able to get up and down and play organized basketball over here in the States and the way that he's kind of, you know.
I think he's more ready just because you face that athleticism on a night in, night out basis.
Kind of remind me of a better jump shooting Zaza Pachulia, if you will. I think that's probably something that's fair to say.
That was a name that I was going to give out in terms. We were just talking about big men. We were talking about big men that have come and translated. But even Zaza had to. he had to kind of mold his game.
That's right.
I don't think he had to become the goon that he that, and I still don't think he's a goon that people try to portray him out to be today.
No, he's not.
I mean,
he's just European.
Well, I mean, he made a simple move, and he's not a punk. I liked him when he was with the Hawks. I think one of the biggest moments that any Hawk fan will tell you is when he and Kevin Garnett were eye to eye and they were face to face, and he wouldn't back down. When KG was basically punking the whole league. And but I think he got this bad rep as he it looked like he consciously made an attempt to get into Kawhi Leonard's space. And when Kawhi Leonard shot the three and came down, he got right up under him, hurt him, and then he became known as this goon.
Right. Where now that's where kind of the league is trying to put emphasis on protect the shooter right
but
now.
Never mind that he'd been in the league 14 years prior to, you know, I'm just throwing out a number. But he'd been in the league at least 8-9 years prior to.
For sure.
But now all of a sudden he with this one move that he's this goon and no one likes him and he's a dirty guy. But, no, I digress. I'm sorry. Like I said, I like Zaza.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you something else that we're about to apologize about. We're about to apologize about this part of the segment, this part of the show, man, where we might get ready to talk about something that seems very pointless to me, only personally. Let's talk about, as we were talking about brother relations between Jontay Porter and Michael Porter Jr., let's talk about two other brothers that may potentially be playing in the NBA, and I can't even believe those words really just came into my mouth. Came out of my mouth, rather. That sounded a little weird.
Well, I don't
between LiAngelo Ball and
Lonzo
and Lonzo Ball. As we know, within the last week or two, the Golden State Warriors and the Los Angeles Lakers both worked out LiAngelo Ball.
Well, he worked out for L.A.
And he was
yesterday.
He was in a pro basketball combine too.
Right,
he looked pretty good.
He worked out for L.A. I think yesterday. It was sometime recent.
Okay,
but he hasn't worked out for Golden State yet. I think he works out for Golden State coming up like June 3rd or 4th, something around in that area.
Fair enough.
But I mean, I don't – like, look, man. Look, if Seth Curry can be in the league, I think LiAngelo can be in the league. Seth Curry is not – nobody thought Seth Curry was, like, killing anything.
I don't think that's fair to say, G-Rod.
What?
No, I don't think that's fair to say.
Why?
First of all, I don't think that LiAngelo Ball could even play at a small school as simple as –
we haven't seen him.
Something as small and simple as Liberty and average 30. And then get called – I don't even think
Luka
he's good.
Luka Doncic averaged 15 points. LiAngelo Ball averaged 13 points.
I do not think that LiAngelo Ball could
they
even –
they both played overseas.
He could not even get on the floor at all if he played under that Duke program. At all, by any stretch, let alone put in some work. I don't even know if he can get on the floor at UCLA they were playing at Cameron Indoor.
Lesser guys have gotten a look.
A look is fine. He's
getting, that's all he's getting.
But let's
a
be
look.
Real.
Nobody's
about,
saying he's getting drafted first round. I'm not putting.
But let's be real about why he's getting a look. Is he getting a look because of his talent, or is he getting a look because of his last name?
I mean, we just talked about this has been the brothers' edition.
But Jontay Porter.
Just talked about Jontay Porter.
No. But Jontay Porter put in some work. Yeah. Jontay Porter actually got in there and did some things and showing that.
But we don't know what LiAngelo can do.
Have
we don't.
How much LiAngelo Ball has Gordon Robinson saw?
I've only seen workouts.
Okay,
because
I've seen
I'm not.
Play.
And I've seen a few highlight packages toward what he did in Lithuania. I mean, I've seen some highlights, but like I said, I don't take a whole lot of stock in highlights because highlights are just that.
And that's fine. Just like we were talking about Luka Doncic. However, let me just be very clear about this when we're talking about LiAngelo Ball, because I know that you haven't seen anything outside of highlights, but I've seen whole games of LiAngelo Ball. You
from how
know?
Many years ago?
Around this time a year ago, getting ready to enter UCLA,
in the All Star game,
it was circuit. It was a showcase circuit. Things of that nature.
I think I might have watched. Like once again, I don't.
That's fine. It's hard to judge off of
high school games, especially showcases
and circuits and All Star games and things of that nature. But even in those, where those are basically formed and structured for a player to be able to shine,
right?
You want to know what he did in those? He stunk.
Well, I will say this. Body-wise, I think he's probably the best out of three Ball brothers. I don't. It sounds like a cartoon when you said.
Well, what do you mean as far as like his size?
Like size, like I think he's pro ready in terms of height and build. He's pro ready in that size frame.
More than Lonzo?
Lonzo had a lot of work to do in terms of getting his strength up. I think strength-wise, he's ready.
Okay, that's fair enough, and I'm glad that you I'm glad that you mentioned that. I respectfully disagree with that. I think
he's a bigger kid. I don't think
he has more weight, but I mean I wouldn't know where to start when we're talking. I can't even believe we're talking about him for this long, but realistically, I don't know where to start about what position he plays, what he does well. He cannot shoot the ball.
I'm assuming he's a shooting guard. Like,
we're talking about a below-average basketball player. Like, he is one of the names that makes me personally feel – I know we teased this a little bit earlier. He's one of the guys that personally makes me feel like I can go out there with my bad lungs and all and go out there 150 pounds, soaking wet, rocks in the pockets, you name it.
I don't know if you could go out and you can do the workout this young man just did that I watched the other day.
Give me some time. How much time you give me? I can maybe go through the workout. I think I can.
I don't know, man.
And still, and even if I don't look great, I just get the feel that Leandro.
And once again, keep in mind, I'm not saying Leandro is to be drafted by anyone.
Do you think he'll get drafted? Do you think he's worthy from what you've seen?
I don't think he'll be drafted. I just think that it's worthy of a look. Just like any of these names that we talked about before, we talked about sleepers and we talked about guys who are late reach. I think he's a name that we can stick in there because I don't know what he would do if he don't steal sunglasses at UCLA. I don't know.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Besides being the brother of.
Well, I mean, but that was the time you should have made a name for yourself. And at first,
he made a name for himself when he went over there overseas.
With his father pulling them out and going over to Lithuania. But then again, I think it was a slick genius move. And he created a hype around these kids that maybe would not have been there had this not happened. So I think he deserves as much a look as anybody else. And if he stinks, then it'll come out in the wash. But if he's a decent player, then like I said, Seth Curry plays for what, the Dallas Mavericks?
So that's so unfair to even bring up Seth Curry in this situation because Seth Curry is leaps and bounds.
How do we know?
More expected to be or was more prepared
because
to be an NBA player. Well, not only that, but he put in some work.
This kid's putting in work.
What is the kid doing? He put in work over there with not even on the same level overseas that Luka Doncic. Not even the same level of competition that Luka Doncic. I mean, they played in a much lower grade, like a much lower division than what Luka Doncic put in.
I mean, I can't imagine, like, from what the competition I saw that Luka was playing with, I can't imagine that it was much, much lower. I mean,
crazy. The
guys had to be smoking cigarettes before putting out cigarettes to go walk into the gym. Like, you're going to play basketball.
Hey, listen, what I'm trying to tell you, be surprised. Hey, G Rob, you'd be surprised. Maybe not even cigarettes.
Blowing smoke in the dog. Blowing smoke in the gym.
You never even know. Hey, bro, you trust me. You never really know. I mean,
pass me the ball.
My boy G Rob over here clowning, man. Of course, you're listening to Hit the Hardwood with G Rob and D Tate. Man, we just spent way too long sitting here talking about some doggone LiAngelo Ball, man.
I definitely agree.
For no reason at all. Like, they should cut us a check for talking about LiAngelo Ball this long.
LeVar, holler at me, man.
I'm trying to tell you.
Give me a shirt or something. I know one of them $60 t-shirts you got out there, man.
60. You might want to add another zero to that, the BBB.
Hey,
the
man.
The big baller brand. I just want to throw something out there real quick before we talk about some key dates that are going to be coming up. Playoff elimination needs. Now there's two teams that just recently that just advanced to the NBA Finals, obviously about to meet for the fourth time in a row. That means that two other teams had to have been eliminated, that being the Boston Celtics and most notably and recently the Houston Rockets.
Exactly.
I want to talk about what these two teams, like their biggest need. We don't have to speak on it for very long, but what one thing do these two teams need in order to potentially, if they can get it in this draft, what position, what type of player, what need is probably the biggest for them if they want to be playing in the NBA Finals around this time next year? Let's start off first with the Houston Rockets.
Well, with the Rockets, I think Rockets need a defender. Like, they need one, of course, like you have here in the notes, keep Chris Paul and Capella. But you need a defender. You need a perimeter defender or, you know, someone who could come in. Because in the West,
Like a perimeter defender?
Yeah, I said a perimeter defender.
Okay.
Like in the West, you can't have enough guys who can guard the wing, and even on a pick and roll guard a point guard, because you from going from Russell Westbrook, Dame Lillard, and you know just keep going down the line from to Golden State to you know all, and then you have the wings of having like a Klay, like a Devin Booker. You got a lot of these guys that are on the wings who are doing great things. You need a guy who can put that and lock somebody down. Not even lock somebody down, but just be in the way and give you depth.
Now that made a lot of sense that you said that, because it's very funny how Patrick Beverley, basically,
right.
Along those lines,
yeah,
that's who exactly. They had. He was their lockup defender, their perimeter defender.
Right.
Kind of seems like they missed him quite a bit. But the only thing about that is you got to also get a guy who's going to know his role, because the last thing you need is another guy on this team that thinks that he can shoot three-point shots just like everybody else.
Where they'll be picking, though, I don't think that he's going to fool himself into thinking that he's some Klay Thompson.
True.
So
I like to think that, too. But with these mindsets of some terrible basketball being played that we saw within the last 24 to 48 hours,
and a lot
too.
Of this stuff happens at practice, man. A lot of these kids get false confidence in practice because you think you play with Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. And you shoot around with Steph Curry. And somehow you believe you can shoot like Steph Curry. And we all know that's not the case.
No, I personally think, as far as the needs in regards to the Houston Rockets go, I think that they need a big inside that can score. Between Clint Capela and Nene, I see for sure from a defensive standpoint that's their defensive staple up front. However, we were looking at NBADraft.net, and I think they're slotted at like number 46 or something.
Right.
And I think that's one of the biggest sleepers in the freaking draft, man. Brandon McCoy, a big man, 7 feet tall, center / power forward, who I thought he reminds me so much of – I mean, I don't see Jaren Jackson being just that much better. I mean, he's better than Brandon McCoy. Make no mistake about it. But that much better. I thought Brandon McCoy, because of who he played for, how bad his team was this year, and all the above. You go back and look at some of these numbers of UNLV this past year, especially that being Brandon McCoy. If they slot him there, they've got something that's really, really special. I'm not saying special enough to beat Golden State Warriors in a Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals next year, but I am saying something that's pretty special. But I'm going to let you go ahead, because we got to jump over to the Boston Celtics and their needs.
I'm just going to throw this out there real quick. A name that's slated to go after 46 where Houston picks it. I like the Hamidou Diallo from Kentucky. I think that's an interesting name that would possibly fill the role, so you know that he could do some of the things that I was talking about doing earlier. But for the Celtics, I think the Celtics actually got what they needed.
They got what they needed.
They got what they needed.
They don't need nothing.
They needed experience.
Okay.
You needed to get punched in the face and get knocked down, and to know what it felt like to get punched in the face and to get knocked down, to know that you didn't like it. You understand what I'm saying? Like
I do.
So those young guys needed that, because they had been riding on cloud nine prior to this, because they had been the comeback kids, or they had been shocking the world. They had been these guys. They were becoming the darlings of the NBA. Everybody was ready to love and embrace on Tatum and Brown, and even they were talking about Al in such high esteem that he was making a reputation for himself. So they got what they needed. They needed that humbling moment to say, okay, here's the focus. And they're going to get Gordon Hayward back. You're going to get Kyrie Irving back. Mm-hmm. And if you have to add anything to the draft, I think what you probably will get, they need a big man. They need someone who can come off the bench and get depth in that way.
Right, especially with Aaron Baines. I don't think that's necessarily going to cut it. Now, sitting here looking at NBADraft.net, the Celtics do have an opportunity at a first-round pick. They get the number 27 pick. Around this time last year, we saw Kyle Kuzma go into
right.
the Lakers with that pick, ironically enough, between two rival organizations. But here at draft.net, I'm listening here looking at a Jalen Brunson, which I don't necessarily feel like that's a need for them. However, if they need a backup point guard, because I think Terry Rozier is in the very last year of his contract as well, you're going to need somebody to back up Kyrie Irving, especially for situations such as these. You bring a guy like a Jalen Brunson off the bench who's at least experienced in the college game. then that can be beneficial to them. Now, moving forward, we talked about a little bit about who's going to be the most pro-ready. If I had to give you just one name, if you gave me just one name, G-Rob, one guy who you think is probably the most pro-ready prospect that's entering this year's NBA draft, who would that person be and why?
To me, outside of DeAndre Ayton, man, I think we both would probably agree. I think Marvin Bagley is going to be the guy who can come in. He's going to give you some minutes. He's going to be he's going to give you some energy, whether it's off the bench or in the starting five. I think he'll give you some offensive rebounds. I think he gives you some points. He gives you rebounds. I think he kind of feels a stat. You know, he's not a stat stuffer, but he comes in, he'll get you what you need.
I think arguably those are the top three, man. I think between DeAndre Ayton, Marvin Bagley, and Jalen Brunson. I don't think between those three that college basketball would necessarily help them out coming back next year.
Right.
A ton. Like, I know that they can work on some things.
Everybody can work on
something. Right, but I just think that those are the three that when you watch them play this year, they're like, okay, these guys are just ready to go. Like, even if Jalen Brunson's not going to get that much better around this time next year if he decided to come back. He's going to end up winning another Player of the Year award and look like he's out there playing, look like a grown man out there playing amongst kids, but at the guard position. Let's move on into let me throw out the key dates real quick first, man, because I know we're up against it. We probably got about 5 minutes left. We're going to get into Hawks talk. But a couple key notes and a couple key dates. May 30th, which is tomorrow. By the time you guys hear this podcast, it probably will be on today. May 30th, back-to-school deadline, man. There's going to be a lot of guys that are going to be coming back to school, having that opportunity. The deadline will be coming up on tomorrow, on the 30th of May. So there's going to be some really key decisions. Also, June 11th, the overall withdrawal deadline for even international players included. That will be in the next couple weeks. And last but certainly not least, On the night that we'll see 60 young men dreams come true when they hear their names called at the 2018 NBA draft at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Really excited about that because I'll be there. Now, Hawks talk.
Yes.
The Atlanta Hawks work out some players over the course of the last few weeks, and I just want to give a rundown. And you tell me if you can see any of these guys, or if any of these guys catch your ears or eyes or intrigue you by any stretch of the imagination. Last week, they worked out Raleigh Alkins from Arizona, Jalen Brunson, who we were just talking about, speaking of, from Villanova, Tony Carr from Penn State, who I think will be excellent for the Hawks potentially at 33, especially we don't know what's going to happen with Schroeder. Gary Clark from Cincinnati, Aaron Holiday from UCLA, Juwan Morgan from Indiana. Now, on today, the Atlanta Hawks happen to work out Kyran Bowman from Boston College, Carson Edwards from Purdue, Kareem Cantor. That last name sounds familiar. We're talking about brothers. That's right. Ennis Cantor's brother from Xavier, Dorian Pickens from Stanford, Tremont Waters, who is an awesome yet very undersized guard from LSU, and Kenrich Williams from TCU, who's a pretty darn good player as well. But I noticed when this release came out, there was a name on it earlier in the day, and then later in the evening when this part of the release was later revised and updated, the name wasn't there anymore.
Right.
That was the name of Mr. Simons from IMG. From these names that you've seen, do you see any of these guys that particularly stuck out to you, just not even knowing how their workouts went and could potentially see them in a Hawks uniform?
Pretty much just Jalen Brunson, just because of everything that's gone down. Knowing that what we know about the Hawks franchise, you're going to need a leader. You're going to need a guy who can come off the bench and get ready. If we keep Schroeder, because apparently there's some friction. I think we talked about it last week a little bit with him clearing his IG account and going through all of this. And there seems to be some things going on there. And there's definitely some smoke. I'm not saying that he's going to be talked about being traded, or he's going to be traded or anything of that nature, but there's definitely some smoke going on somewhere in that area. But I think if you watch outside of Cleveland, if you watch the playoffs, point guard play is crucial in the league. And if you have a good guard, you have good guard play, I think it'll get you to where you need to be. I mean, like I said, outside of Cleveland, because once you have LeBron, who's the ultimate freak, you got the Greek freak out in Milwaukee, but LeBron is the ultimate freak. Outside of that, man, everybody need guards.
Yeah, there was a couple of things that was said. I know I mentioned Anthony Simons, whose name was originally on this list and didn't make it I guess for in
discussion. I'm looking for Duval. I'm looking for Trey Duval.
Yeah, that would have been really interesting. Didn't see his name at all, and I'm curious to know how much longer this is going to be kept up. But I want to mention, since I mentioned Anfernee Simons' name not being on the list anymore, it's for some kind of disclosed reason, whatever that is. It was just said that it was canceled. We don't know if that's from the Hawks side or if that's from the Anfernee Simons or Simons camp side.
Is this one of those, hey, don't look over here, we don't have anything, and then all of a sudden, boom, we draft you with the 19th pick? Or
I wish I could tell you, but it only makes sense.
Crazily enough, on the draft.net, they have him slated at 19 to the Hawks.
19.
I got a question for you. I mean, and this is, I'm just squeezing it in real quick. You got Atlanta with the 3rd pick, Atlanta with the 19th pick, Atlanta with the 30th pick, Atlanta with the 34th pick. You're talking about, that's 4 picks.
Sure.
At some point in time, do you see Atlanta saying, calling up, just pulling a name out the hat, Portland, saying, we'll give you 30 and 31 and a guy off the bench. Give us number 24 so that we can have 3, 19, and 24.
Well, I think that that's a possibility. I'm not sure what you're going to get at 24 that you wouldn't be able to get with 30. I personally like my number 30 and my number 34, personally, to be quite honest with you. But I want two backup point. I want to be able to have options at point guard if need be. One, a pure point guard, maybe like a Trayvon Duval potentially, and maybe one like a combo guard like a Tony Carr, who they brought in earlier this week. I think, and that's just you know, just possibilities and things that I like a little bit better versus packaging for a number 24.
Okay, I mean, and I'm just throwing out because and you only have so many slots in basketball for me. So for me, I'd rather have the quality instead of the quantity. And what I would, and I'm just thinking like right here, 19 and 30. I called the Clippers. Hey, I'll give you 19 and I'll give you 30. Once again, I throw in a guy, a young guy off the bench, you name him, just to make numbers
work.
For 12 or 13.
If we're talking about moving up, towards the tail end of the lottery, right, then I think we're having a different conversation.
Okay.
But I do believe that there's a big difference between 12 or 13 and number 24.
Right.
And I hear what you're saying about the quality versus the quantity.
And I hear what you're saying.
But during that time, down the line, in the first round,
the same quality.
It's all the same quality. I'd rather have more quantity
to choose from
exactly.
I'm with you.
Man, okay, we just went through that pretty fast, man. We're a little over 30 minutes long. Make sure that you follow us, man. Want to make sure that we mention this again. Yeah. At G Robinson Sports.
At G Robinson Sports.
All right. At Tate's Take Sports, TATESTAKE Sports. To follow me, as well as following the show, man, at Hit Hardwood 929. We keep putting emphasis on that, pounding on the table. Hit Hardwood 929. Hit Hardwood 929. That's HITHARDWOOD 929. Try saying that 3 times fast. Appreciate everybody for listening, man. Like I said, coming up next week and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be getting into our mock draft. So for everybody that's like, man, Tate, where's your mock draft? And I'm like, yo, you just got to wait and listen to the podcast. And they're like, yo, you still ain't got to it yet. I'm like, yo, keep listening to the podcast. Well, the time has come. We're going to get into what I believe is what our lottery picks are next week. Is that the way we're going? Number one through number 14?
Go straight lottery.
All right, yeah, man. Let's do it. Appreciate you. Hear the music. So appreciate everybody for checking us out. Make sure about a week from today, man, we're going to start getting into those mock drafts. So everybody keep your eyes open, your ears open. Make sure you circle those key dates we talked about earlier on your calendar. And make sure that you go freaking follow at HitHardwood929.
Yep. Get in your stand. Slap the floor. Let's go, baby.
In a minute.